Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam. We are now on Perek Zion. Hilchos Geneva, Halacha Aleph. The first six prakim that we have finished have dealt with the first two mitzvahs that the Rambam was telling us. Number one, not to steal, and how to deal with a ganav. This Perek now will deal with the next four mitzvahs. And the next beginning will deal with the next three, which is number one, you have to ensure that your weights and scales are accurate. Another mitzvah is you're not allowed to deceive a person when going through these transactions with these false measures. And number three is that you're not allowed to even possess false weights, even if you don't plan on using them. Those are three distinct averos, two are negatives and one is positive, that are always involved with weights and measures. And then towards the end of the chapter, we'll deal with the sixth mitzvah of this Hilchos Geneva, which is not to be masigvul, not to move the property markers, and we'll see where that applies. So we're going to make a big push, and we're going to see it. We're going to really try to maybe do Perek Zion also one night. We'll see. What? We're going to see. We want to try to finish everything before Shavuos, if possible. Bottom of page 206, 207. Hashoiko lechavero mimishkolos chaseros. If a person weighs for another person with deficient weights, for example, if there's a standard kilo and you're using a weight that's a little less than a kilo, then mina mishkol shiskimo lav b'deyosa. If you're using a weight that's a little bit under the weight that is accepted as the standard weight in this country, next page. Ohamodeid b'mida chaser m'mida, or if you're measuring in a measurement that is less than what shiskimo lav that's been agreed upon. Let's say you're measuring land, you're using yardsticks or whatever, or you're measuring grain by heaping cups or whatever that is. Any of these things, and therefore you are shortchanging the buyer in that way. Hareze over below sasa. You transgress a negative commandment. Shenemer, the Torah says, lo sasu oval b'mishpat, a person should not act deceitfully regarding judgment in the following areas, bamida, bamishkal, uvamesura, in dealing with measurements, in dealing with weights, and when dealing with liquid measures. Clear negative commandment, you cannot do this. Halacha base, let's think for a minute without looking inside. If you do that, would you be considered a ganef or a goslin?
Probably ganef.
A ganef. Why would you say a ganef?
You can't see the
because it's a secret way of stealing. What would be the difference you would think? What will be the difference if he's a ganef or a goslin? What would you think?
The punishment.
Which would be? Kefil. Okay, so let's look in the Rambam C. Let's see what he says. Base. Afal pisha modeid o hashokel chaser gonev. Even though the person who measures or weighs in a way that's deficient is considered a ganav, still eino mishalem lo tashlume kefil. You do not pay kefil. Ela misham lo hamido hamishkol. You only pay according to what you cheated him out from. Because only by gneva per se does the Torah talk about the idea of paying kefil. Okay? When it's just cheating him this way, there's no halacha of kefil. But you must pay him what you cheated him out. And for that matter, it doesn't matter how much. If it's a penny, that you're a ganef, and you have to pay back for that. But it wasn't a real act of geneva where you're going and taking money out of his pocket. Only there do we say kefil. But regarding the, because there you're taking the entire object. Here you're not taking an entire object, you're just taking a few bucks out of that. So there's a kosev, there's no kefil for that. Now, would you get malchus? Would you get lashes for this? So we say, Vein Lokin Alav Zeh, you do not get lashes for this. Why? Since you have to repay, so it's a lav hanitak la'aseh, it's a negative commandment that can be repaired by the positive commandment of returning what you sold. If you underweight him and he lost $5, you just pay him the $5 and you make it up. There's no need to give the fellow makas. Gimel. Anyone who possesses in his home or in his store a measurement or a weight that is deficient, even if you don't plan on using it, over below sasa, you transgress a negative commandment, shenemer, it says, Lo yielecha bekischa, you should not have in your pockets two sets of weights, including false weights, etc., etc. Now, this goes so far, va'afilu lasus hamida avit shel meimei raglayim, even if you're going to turn this, let's say it was a large measuring cup, and even though it's a faulty one, so you're going to use it instead as a chamber pot, where it's definitely not likely that you're going to be measuring grain or things like that in there, right? So still, also, you're not allowed to do it. Why? Even though you're not going to use it for buying and selling, somebody, you never know, you're in a pinch, you're in a jam, somebody else will come and say, you know what, we need to measure something, this looks like a standard quart or whatever, and they'll take it and not realize that it's deficient in more than one way. And therefore, a sin will be resulting in it, and therefore you're not allowed to do this. Now, what about this? Would you get malchus, lashes for this? For just keeping it. Vein lokin alavze, you do not get lashed for this, because we have another principle. Shere ein bo maisa, there's no action. There are certain negative commandments where you transgress it by just not doing anything sometimes. And therefore, the only time you get lashed is if it's an actual act. If it's not an act, you don't. So even though the Gemara says, when you transgress this action, when you create this deficient object, but the wording of the Torah is you shall not have, possess these things. Possession is not an activity. Stealing is an activity. Other things are an activity. This is not an activity. It's the transgression of allowing it to be in your home. That is a lav sheim bo bais. It's a negative prohibition that doesn't entail an action. And therefore we have a rule. You don't get malchus for those kinds of things. Halacha dalet. However, the next rule will tell us that you may possess imperfect measures when we know that it's never ever possible that it could be used in an inappropriate fashion, which will be explained. And the next few halachas are going to go into these issues in terms of when would that be possible to be misused and when would it not be possible to be misused. So halacha dal begins. Hayu hamidas v'mishkala shel b'nei ha'ir chasumos b'chosim yadua. If the weights and measured had a standard seal, that would be affixed from the government agency of weights and measures. Just like you have at gasoline stations. There's a stamp or a symbol, whatever, it's tag. So if anything that was used for measures has to have the government symbol and people that was weighed by an independent agency that got bribed. No, they didn't get bribed. And that would make sure that it would be a reasonable thing. And now you have one. V'su amido amishkol chachaserim b'lochosem. Your weight or measure that is deficient, but it doesn't have the tag. And it'll never get the tag, because you're going to apply for the tag and you're not going to get it. Then, ha-reizem mutar la-shosam lishor tashmishe habayis. You are allowed to keep them in your house to use for other uses other than selling, and we don't have to worry you might one day use it, because no one will ever use the thing if it doesn't have the appropriate seal. However, we'll see a case where it's not allowed. Kayot sebozes, similarly, going back in halacha gimel to saying cases where you're not allowed to keep certain things. Let us say, sela hanifkama min atzad. Let's say there's a weight called a sela. Okay, there's a weight called a sela. And if it becomes blemished on the side, in other words, a little bit of that sela, some of the metal or whatever it's made out of gets shaved off a little bit and it's missing a little bit. So such a thing, you're not allowed to use it in many ways. And the problem is like this. If it's shaved off on a little side, you can say, well, of course, we're going to look at it. We see it's not square. You can see it's deficient. Whoever used a deficient thing, you know, it's supposed to be more round. You know, sell it. It could be, let's say, a round type of thing. You know, remember, not these things aren't always holding things. They're put on a scale as a balance. So they would use, like, these certain coins that had double uses. It was a coin in terms of legal tender. It was coin in terms of using as a balance. You go to the store, you want to buy a sella, whatever a sella's weight is, of corn. So guess what? Here I put my sella on the scale, I put the corn on the side, and that's what it is, and that's a sella's worth. So it had a double use. It had a use as a weight, had a use of a coin. So some of these weighted coins, let's say shaved off a little from the side. So you look at it, you see it's not round. Everyone's going to know it's not good. So what could be the problem of letting something like that around? Problem is, a crafty fellow will just shave off the other end and will complete it to look round. In other words, as you look at it, it's a little bit missing on one side. You could see it's not a perfect circle. But all you got to do is shave off the other end, so to speak, and a little bit around, and you can make it a little smaller circle in total, and it will look just like the sella, but it'll be a fraction of an inch, millimeter, whatever, all the way around, not good. So therefore, even though right now you could see it's clearly not a usable thing, and nobody would be fooled by it, but an unscrupulous individual could pick it up and do something with that. Therefore, we can't use, and we have to make sure that nobody else can ever use this. And therefore, the halacha says like this, Lo yasena mishkol ben mishkolosav, you should not make it as one of the weights that you keep amongst your weights. Lo yizrikeno ben gerutosav, and you shouldn't even throw it in your scrap metal area, because you never know who's going to be going through the scrap metal. You have these people go through your garbage and say, "Ooh, look at this, a really good looking sella." And the guy will use it and will you shape it in a way to make it an illegal coinage. And not even like Yikvenavi Tlenabatsarov, no, you can't even take it and put a hole in it and use it as a little necklace. You know, you put a string around it, an amulet, whatever. Can't even do that. Why? All these cases, no? Shemayova Achari Yasena Mishko. Somebody else come along and would make it as a weight and would just shave it around the other side and be able to cheat people with this. It's not in the middle. We didn't say that. We said that we'll put a hole right at the edge where that thing has the deficiency. And then he'll just scrap that little hole, and you know, and it'll shave all around. We'll talk about a hole in the middle shortly. So what do you do with such a thing? Elo yishchak, either you grind it up into pieces, or yachta, chop it up into pieces, or yakutz, or you pulverize it, or yashiv yamelach, or throw it into the Dead Sea. Got to get rid of it that nobody can get a handle of it at all. Next, hey, chasra va'amda al mechza. Let's say you've got this sella. And for whatever reason, it becomes diminished. Let's say it rusts out or whatever. But guess what? It rusts down to half its original size. Instead of a big round thing, it's a small round thing of half the size. Now, we know that a sella's weight is 2 shekels. So if it goes down to half size, it'll now be a perfect 1 shekel coin. And nobody makes a difference between a 1 shekel coin and the 2 shekel sella. People don't make mistakes in that. And therefore, yikayim, you may keep it, because it now is a good half shekel. If it goes down from one good one to half the size, that's not a problem. You keep such a thing. Next page. But what if its deterioration is not exact enough? What if amdal pachas mechza? What if it was reduced to less than half the size of a sella? Or al yasser mechza, a little bit more than that? And people can now be confused as to what you can use for it, and it will be inaccurate. So what do you do? Although this is a little shver rama, it only applies to one of the 2 cases. So yakutz acha miden al mechza. So what do? You cut it. If it's a little bigger, cut it on the other side till it gets down to a half. If it's less, the Rambam doesn't seem to give us a suggestion of how to deal with that. If it's less than a half, what are we going to do with that? The assumption is we'd have to throw it away. So I'm not sure why the Rambam puts that 1/2, and I didn't see any of the Mefarshim explain that. But obviously something has to be done with this. Now, this is all in terms of waiting. What if you just want to use the coin, and it's in your possession, and you want to use it just as currency? If you want to use it as currency, here's a sella. And people use it as money, and not only in terms as a weight. So now, there's a concept in sales, which I don't want to get into too much. The concept is, if something is less than 1/6 deficient, that's considered minimal enough that people aren't worried about it. We don't say that by weights. By weights, it must be precise, because that's what you're buying based on weight. But certain things, that we'll get into in other halachas in the Rambam, but we're talking about a coin, so you know what, if it's a shekel or a sella, and it's monetary coinage, if it's less than 1/6 deteriorated, people don't care about it so much. So therefore, if it deteriorates less than 1/6 in that area, then you can keep it in order to barter and exchange and use it in a commercial way. But you certainly cannot use it as a weight. You need to be very careful not to use it as a weight. Because in terms of commerce, anything less than 1/6, when we come to business, people are moichel on it. They're willing to forego because it still is called a standard dollar bill or whatever it is. So it's less weight. But people, don't worry, we'll just use it as currency and we're not going to make a big deal about it. But by weight, that would for sure not be allowed, because anything, when it comes to weight, you want exactly what you pay for. You don't want false representation. But we're dealing with currency. If the currency, although it's not backed by gold, so to speak, because it's the gold itself, but if it's a little less than the gold, it still works as currency and people don't mind. If it's going to be half of the coin, people are going to know this isn't worth what it is. Yeah?
The problem I have is if it's less than the stakes and you use it as currency, aren't you putting that in front of the next person they could use?
No, so you have to tell him. You have to tell him that it's not the full thing and he shouldn't use it as a weight. He has to let him know. You have to say, "Why? You know, I've got, you know, a guy wants to sell something. He wants the money. So guy here, so it says here, I got the money, but you should know it's not a perfect weight. You just inform him, and then that's not a problem.
Other instruments, we said you have to destroy it.
Because there's no other use for it. We're not talking about a thing that works as currency. It's not proper currency. And if it's so it must be, you have to say that in those other cases of Rambam, it's more than a sixth deficient. You have to explain the Rambam in the earlier part of the Lach, it's more than a sixth deficient, then there's no use for it at all. That's the only way to resolve the Rambam. That makes a lot of sense. Now we come to your case, Howard. Vav. Sela shenivkama ba'emtza. Let's say a sela has been deteriorated smack in the middle. There's a hole smack in the middle of the sela. Now that you can keep because everyone's going to see there's a hole in the middle. There's no way you can, you know, if it's got a hole on the side, we can rub it out and rub out the other sides, but it's smack in the middle. So what's going to happen? Everyone's going to know it's a deficient weight. No one can fool anybody in this. You could use it as currency because it's probably less, if it's less than a sixth, and that's not a problem. It's good to carry around, and you could use it as currency and not as a weight. It would seem that there would be no problem, and in general that's true, except for the following exception. You cannot sell such an item to a person who's a known killer or a thief. Because such a guy, you're going to sell it to him, and now he's got it. We don't want these kinds of guys to have this. You know why? Because they're going to go over to somebody and want to make a deal. Now, when you know Mr. Murderer is going to do a deal with you, you're so nervous with the guy, you're not even going to look at the coin, and you're going to let him do whatever he does with that coin because you're too scared of him. You're not going to pay particular attention to that. So we don't want that kind of coinage to get into these kinds of people's hands. Because they will fool others. They will deceive others. Not even, they don't have to do anything, but people will just not think carefully and won't notice what's going on. So what do you do with such a coin? You can't really, so what could you do is, you can't sell it to these guys, you could sell it to other people, but what you could do if you want, you could put a hole in it, it already has a hole in it, or it's deficient, and you put a hole in it, and then you could put it as a little, necklace for your kid to wear. And then you don't have to worry, we're not going to worry so far that the ganef, the murderer will steal it, and that for you don't have to worry. So you could have a use for it, by just having your kid use it, as opposed to the thing that has the hole on the side, that you can't do that because some unscrupulous people could now make it an unfit coin. Halacha Zayin is only going to tell us a very simple halacha, that there are different types of measures, and the different measures should be significantly different one from the other so we don't confuse them. For example, if something was 1/8 of a cup, and one thing's 1/7 of a cup, the difference is so small, they'll get mixed up, and people will shortchange others. So there has to be a certain amount of difference between weightage that clearly no one could ever make a mistake in that weightage. And now the Gemara will just give us examples that were in their time, and we would have to extrapolate examples for our time. Now, there is a measurement called a sa'ah. A sa'ah is a dry measure that holds a measurement called 6 kav. How big that is, they tell you on the bottom numbers, how many cubic centimeters. It's not important for us to know right now. Just know that a sa'ah is 6 kav. Whatever that is, and that's all we need to know for now. So, o sa'ah midosav, you can make your dry measures of the following kind. A sa'ah, which is 6 kav. V'chatzi sa'ah, and a half a kav. A half a sa'ah, which is 3 kav. One thing that's half of the other, you're not going to make a mistake. Virov asa, and a quarter of a saw, which is 1.5 kav, that's still good. Vikav, and a kav, and a chatzi kav, and a half a kav, virov a kav, and a quarter kav, vachatzi harov, and a half of a quarter, which is 1/8. Ushminis harov, and 1/8 of a fourth, which is 1/32. So you could have a measure of 6, 3, 1.5, 1/2, 1/4, 1/8, 1/32. Those are enough distance between one from the other, you would never mix them up. Now, which one could you not make? Two kaf. You could have 3 and 1.5, but you can't have 2. Why not 2? Avalo yasa kabaim. Don't make 2. So tischalef barova haksav. Because that would be mistaken with a quarter saw, which is 1.5. 1.5 and 2 is way too close. So you may ask, well, what difference between 1 and 1.5? Difference is, it's a bigger difference. From 1 to 1.5, it's 50% more, while from 1.5 to 2, it's only, whatever, 25 or 33% more. So it's not big enough. All the others represent at least a 50% difference between them, and less than that, which seemed to be not a significant amount. Good. That is all for dry measurements. Now we go to liquid measurements. And liquid measurements, osa hin. A hin, you have that from the Torah, from the Korbanos, you have a hin. A hin is made up, again, you don't have to know exactly, it's called 12 log. One hin is made up of 12 log. So you can have a measure that's called a hin, that has 12 log. V'chatzi ahin, and a half a hin, which is 6 log. Ushlishis, and a third of a hin, which is 4 log. Urevis ahin, and a fourth of a hin, which is 3 log. Right? The log, and you can have a log, which is 1. V'chatzi log, and a half a log. Urevis, and a quarter. Ushmidis, and an eighth. V'echad mishmon v'shis, and an eighth of an eighth, which is 1/64. Now, interesting, they allowed 3 and 4. They allowed 3 and 4, which is only a difference of 1, which would seem to be way too close. We did not have that by the dry measurements. By dry measurements, it's 1.5, 3, and 6. And we didn't have 3 and 4. So the Gemara, the Imam was going to ask, how can you have 3 and 4? That seems pretty close. He says, we didn't forbid a third or a fourth of a hin, which is 3 and 4 log. Although you could think they could be interchanged. Why? Because we know in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, we had the Torah itself says, a Revi Sahin and a Shlishi Sahin. The Torah says for Karbonis, you would use this. So the Torah say you could use this, and obviously it's something we can use. The Aruch HaShulchan adds that when liquid measurements are used, it's more readily discernible than solid measurements. I don't know why, but they said when you're dealing with liquids, it's easier to tell the difference, but by solids, not. Ches. Now, how about non-Jews and others? No, I didn't skip. So, ches. Echad ha-noise v'ha-noise in Yisrael, oim avi kachavim. It doesn't matter if you're doing business with a Jew or a non-Jew. Imarad ha-shakal v'cheser. If you measure or weigh thing in a deficient way, over alos haseh. You have transgressed the negative commandment, just like stealing against the goyis aser. So cheating a goy is aser. V'chayiv l'achzer. If you cheat the goy, you have to give him back. Because cheating from a goy is the din of stealing, and we know that stealing from a goy is not allowed. Similarly, v'chayin aser l'hatos as a ovik achavim v'cheshri. You're not allowed to fool a non-Jew in calculations. You know, the calculations don't come out right, and you know he's not so good at it, and he sees he's going to make mistakes. You know, you really shouldn't do that. You should be very specific. Make a good reckoning with him that it's clear that there's no deception going on over here, even if it's not weights. Shinemar, because when it talks about selling a Hebrew servant who has to be sold to a Gentile master, even when we had our own base of Migdash, we live in Eretz Yisrael, it says, V'chishav im koneu. You have to reckon with the purchaser. You have to be very precise that there's no mistakes. Now that was said, look on the next page, 212, 213. And in that case, the non-Jews were under our control. And we don't really have to worry what the non-Jews are going to think. And if we cheat them, what's the big deal from a political point of view? But, and when the Torah was still particular. So, Kal V'chomer, the more so nowadays in the Rambam's times, the Gemara's times, a goy who is not under your control, we should all be more careful. And this fooling a non-Jew in calculations, is included when the Torah says, it's an abomination to God, he who does this, anyone who does this transgression, who acts crookedly in deceiving non-Jews, this is the same abomination as other times when the Torah refers to abominations. So those that are so worried about gay people who do abominable thing, Orthodox Jews who deceive goyim in business are no less abominable than them. Mikol makom, in any situation, we should worry about it. 3 times we know it's abominable. Those 2 and an arrogant person. So we can see that it's not just don't pick on one group. Halacha tes. V'chein b'midas hakarka. Let's get into land. When we're measuring land. Imhitas chavera b'meshichas hakarka. If you fool someone with the measurement of the land, use an incorrect yardstick or whatever. Over below sasa, you transgress a negative commandment. As it says, Shenemer, lo sasu avo b'mishpa b'mibda, you shouldn't do iniquity in judgment in measure, b'mida, what does the word mida specifically mean? Zu midas hakarka, the measurement of land. V'cheinu inyan pasuk zeh, that's the topic of the pasuk. It says, lo sasu avo b'mishpa, you shouldn't do incorrectly, deceitfully in judgment, lo b'mishpa d'mishpa, lo b'mishpa mida, not in weights and not in measures. V'afilu mida ketana ki mesura, even if it's the smallest amount, which is a mesura, which is a 33rd of a log. That's such a small amount. And even that is not allowed. Now, let's see how far this halacha goes in halacha yud. B'nei chabura hamakbidim zel zeh. What if you have a group of people that are very particular with each other? They're not easygoing. You know, a lot of times we're easygoing. Here, you take this. If it's a little bit off, you know, you get a piece of cake, I get a piece of cake. We don't take a little ruler and start measuring. Most people aren't particular. But what if you have a group that's very particular with each other? They're just, you know, every little thing's a big deal. So now, shechlivu chelo chelok, if they are exchanging portions, you get a portion, I get a portion, oh, love a man umachlo, let's say he lends him some food, but hechman gives him back, these fellows, if they aren't accurate in their measurements, since they're so particular, over mishuminin, mishumishko, mishuminin, they will transgress of false measures and weights and counts and numbers, because since they're so particular, then even the little bit amount, if you're not careful, it will be wrong. Regular Jews, you know, friends, we don't care. Here, this, that, we don't worry. Business is one thing. We're not talking about business now. We're talking about relatives or friends. And if they are so particular to each other, then I guess that becomes business. And since that's business, not allowed. And therefore, we know another thing. You're not allowed to lend on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Lending, that's a long-term kind of lending. Why? Because we're afraid people will write it down. So when these guys are starting to lend pieces of bread to each other, normally we could do that because it's not a big deal for us. But for them, it's a very big deal because they're going to really worry about it. They're so particular. So mishum lovim upar miyantov, he also will transgress lending and returning on yantov. Because when they say an expression of lend to me, people are going to think, you know, this is a very serious thing. These guys are very particular with each other, and you might write it down. And if you might write it down, they can transgress. So people who are very particular with each other, it is not the healthiest situation because you can transgress. So we almost did it. We're only 2 halachas short. Mirtz Hashem will continue on Sunday.